ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितमेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सघनरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सघनललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदेव भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम यू फॉर दिस सेशन ऑन पर्पज ऑफ भगवद गीता। As you all heard just now, that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is called, it's a worldwide movement. So specifically, it is meant for spreading the message of Bhagavad Gita and for spreading the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna Mantra. Sometimes this movement is also called as Hare Krishna movement. So many of you must have heard about ISKCON and you may have your own perceptions of ISKCON. But ISKCON is basically, its main activity is to spread message of Bhagavad Gita and Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna's names. So today we will discuss purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, originally it is part of Mahabharata. So 18 chapters in Bhishma Parva, from chapter number 25 to 43 constitutes Bhagavad Gita. 700 verses are there. This was spoken just before the war of Kurukshetra. To convince Arjuna to follow the path of Dharma. Basically teaches us that our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he said it's a theistic, perfect theistic science it is. So purpose of dharma or any religious system is to know God and to love Him. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita is perfect theistic science. It helps us to understand God, our relationship with God, and how to re-establish our lost connection with the Lord. So therefore, it is a theistic science. And Bhagavad Gita speaks about many subject matters. Who are we? Who is God? What is our relationship? Is there life after death? What happens to us after death? And why bad things happen to good people? So like that, there are many topics which are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. So before we go, in coming weeks you will all hear many of these topics, and today we will focus on this particular topic, purpose of Bhagavad Gita. There is one Sanskrit saying, prayojanam manudishya mandopi na pravartate. That means, if we do not know the benefit and the result of any activity, even a dull person would not be inspired to do that activity. So unless we know what are the benefits of Bhagavad Gita, you will not have impetus for studying Bhagavad Gita or hearing Bhagavad Gita. So purpose is also one of the benefits, one of the results of Bhagavad Gita. So we will discuss purpose of Bhagavad Gita today. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, In his introduction to Bhagavad Gita, he mentioned, he gives a very long introduction to Bhagavad Gita. So 36 pages of introduction, very elaborate introduction. In fact, he presented whatever is there in Bhagavad Gita in summary in the introduction. Everything what we want to know in Bhagavad Gita is there in that introduction. So you all can go through that again and again. If you can go through at least few times, it will be very nice. Your understanding of Bhagavad Gita will be very good. The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from the science of material existence. So basically, in simple words, Bhagavad Gita is meant to deliver the mankind from ignorance, or to help us to come out of ignorance. Now if you see the present scenario in the world, and because of our training in the schools, we have idea that we are the most advanced people in the entire history of humanity. So you all must be knowing, in your childhood you all studied in the school. Previously there was Stone Age, human beings were living in jungles, they were killing animals and eating them. Gradually they learnt how to ignite fire by brushing stones, and eventually they learnt agriculture, and then started living in communities, societies or villages. So now gradually we have made development to the point of information and technology. We are the most advanced and most civilized, developed human beings. This is what we learn in the schools and universities. This is, everyone is programmed like this. But actually, if you see, according to Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic literatures, according to Vedic history, Puranas and all, Kali Yuga is the most degraded age. Because in this age, all the good qualities are destroyed. So people will lose. What to speak of self-realization? They don't even understand what is material happiness also. They don't have proper understanding of what is material happiness also. So for instance, like here we are living in this great city of Bangalore. People are working hard, but if you see on the others, it appears everything very colorful, very, very attractive. So people are very allured by all this razzle dazzle. So automobiles, big skyscraper buildings, so information technology, lot of gadgets. So all these things people are, but on the other side, if you see the scenario, we don't have good food, we don't have good water, we don't have good air. Human beings have to purchase water also means it is something very pathetic it is. So people are floating in the ocean of pollution. So it is not advancement, it is degradation, because we don't know even what is material happiness also. If basic food, water, shelter, clothing are not in proper shape, so we can imagine that what to speak of other things, spiritual subject matters, self-realization, it is far away. So we get, if you study Vedic literature, we get a different scenario. This is the most degraded age it is. So we are not advancing, we are not progressing, we are digressing actually. But unfortunately we are programmed in a different way. So we think that we are in we are developing, we are making progress, and we are the most intelligent people in the entire human history. So like that, in this way we are trained. This is called as linear progressive civilization or linear progressive history. So that is what is this originally, this idea of linear progressive history came from one Christian, Roman Christian guru in fourth century, so long back. From that time everyone is trained gradually, and later of course that was developed up to the time of Darwin. So because he presented this evolutionary theory that everyone is, so life is evolving like that. So Darwin's theory solidified this idea that we are evolving, we are making progress, we are, but actually if you see from spiritual perspective, from Vedic perspective, we are degrading more and more and more and more. Human beings will degrade more and more. So because you see this working hard in the night, day and night, it's not just for, if you want to get good food, good water, good air, we don't have to work like this, right or not? Anyway, we will discuss in the course of our discussion. So we get the idea in modern society, in modern education, that oh, we are the most intelligent, most developed, most civilized human beings, but actually we are in ignorance. What is the definition of ignorance? What is it means, ignorance means? So there are many definitions of ignorance. Ignorance can be understood in different levels. So basic level of ignorance, we can understand not able to solve the problems of life. That is called as ignorance. If we are in ignorance, we will not be able to solve the problems of life. Or our solutions are creating more and more problems. There is one English idiom here. Like opening a can of worms. Opening a can of worms means we, for a problem, we find a solution. But presently when we are applying that solution, we do not know what will be the consequences. So often we have seen in modern society especially, solutions have become cause of so many unwanted problems. So that is the meaning of can of worms. So we don't know what they are going to bring. That means, in other words, they are going to bring so many problems in the future. So many bad consequences. So this entanglement of cycle of solutions and problems is called as ignorance. So we will take some examples. Just for example, previously people pedaled from one place to another place. They used their legs to walk. They didn't have automobiles. And they used horse carriages, or they used bullock carts. So in this way they used to travel from one place to another place. Now we thought, okay, we will solve this problem of traveling from one place to another place. So we developed automobiles. Now these automobiles have become cause of so many problems. Like here we see that, you know, traffic problems, pollution, accidents. So this automobiles have become cause of so many problems. This is the meaning of ignorance. We try to solve one problem, but that solution becomes cause of so many other problems. If we are in knowledge, then we should be able to solve the problem. But in fact, we are creating more problems. That shows that we are in ignorance. So this is the meaning of ignorance, one basic definition of ignorance, our entanglement in the cycle of problems and solutions. So whole modern man is just entangled into this cycle of problems and solutions. So we will take some examples of this, same automobile example, that in late 19th century in London or in Britain, so those days people, there were no automobiles, people were using horse carriages. So they bred so many horses, they wanted to use this horsepower like anything. So they bred so many horses and they had so many horses and they were using all these horses and horse carriages. These horses, what they do, they pass dung, and that caused so much problem to people there. And here we see authorities had to deal with thousands of tons of dung and dead horses. And when the horses die, what they will do? They have to be cleaned up, removed, and the dung. And they made a survey that if they went on like that, they would have in 50 years they would have so much dung and these dead corpses would have accumulated on the road that 9 feet. So roads would be buried under below 9 feet of dung. So that was the survey they did. So this was the problem. So then what is the solution? So they found automobiles. Okay, we will manufacture automobiles. So they were very happy. Automobiles, they did not deposit any dung, and they didn't have to deal with dead corpses of horses. And in this way, a lot of diseases were avoided due to cleanliness, because all flies, bugs, which accumulate on the dead corpse, they were causing so many health problems. In this way, they saved. But automobile is solution for that? Is it a solution for that? No. Now, because of air pollution caused by automobiles, people are suffering from so many diseases. So it is told that every 25, out of 25 people, one will get a cancer because of pollution. Now in present society, out of 25 people. That means here in this room, at least 2-3 people. I am not praying. I will pray to Krishna that you all don't pass through that. So, in this way, so this automobile has caused. And recent event, you all know, in the beginning of this year and last few years, this has become a source of so much problem in Delhi. Everywhere. Even in Bangalore or Mumbai or all metropolitan cities. So we see this newspaper reports, Delhi was declared as world's most polluted city because of air pollution. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Delhi was world's most polluted city, and we see that here there is a newspaper report. India slips to 155 among 178 countries on environmental performance index. So, and it surpassed Beijing. So previously Beijing was considered, and Delhi is ahead of Beijing in pollution now. So, and we read in many, news channels and papers that pollution level in Delhi is 6 times more than normal. But what is actually normal pollution? Why there should be pollution at all? Right or not? What we say normal is also relative. It is right or not? And 6 times normal means it is too much. In this way, it became a big issue, and they tried to sort it out so many ways. Previous Delhi government completely raised the hand, we cannot do anything. So our Prime Minister, he also tried to do some things. They made a rule that one day odd cars will run and another day even cars will run. So people will purchase two cars and put what different numbers to that and still run. and he also made a rule that ministers will not travel in their own personal cars, they will go in a bus, common bus, MPs, members of parliament. So in this way they try to sort out many things, but all these things will not work because one side they have to promote industrialization, they have to promote this car, support this car companies, so, and another side they have to stop pollution. Both will not go together, right or not? Both will not go parallel. Either you have to close all these car companies or you have to adjust with pollution and go on like that. So in this way this caused a lot of problem. And last year I went to Nepal because of some political disagreement between India and Nepal. Previously India was supplying all the fuel and energy to Nepal. So India had stopped all fuel supply and energy supply to Nepal. So I observed that people were standing in queue for fuel for kilometers, in some places kilometers. And there was so much LPG problem. People didn't have LPG for cooking their food. First of all, this is a very foolish idea. To cook your chapati, you have to depend on Middle East. It's a something very absurd it is. Right or not? Why I have to depend on Middle East for my chapati? No, right or not? Importing all fuel, petroleum products and LPG from, right or not? From Middle East to cook my chapati. This is something strange. You see how we have organized our socio-economic system. So these things will not, these are very, very peculiar, you know, social system, socio-economic system it is. So in this way, now you see, I came from India to Nepal. Obviously, all the people would ask me about this question, you know. So when I went to, when reporters came to meet me, they were asking this question, oh, why India has stopped all fuel supply? In Nepal, they call it as Nakabandi. Nakabandi means like all stop of basic necessities. You know? It's just like catching the throat, you know, right or not. So, why India is doing like this, they would ask. When I went to television interviews, people asked about this. So, I said to them that this is all, this blame game is not correct. You blame India, India blame Nepal, and our Prime Minister of Nepal is blaming Indian Prime Minister, Indian Prime Minister is blaming Nepalese Prime Minister. These all our own artificial problems we have created. So we have created all these problems. So why you need automobile? Why you have to run here and there? Just be at one place. So, and to run an industrial society, you need to put all the people together. Then, so these, you know, cities will expand so much, 30 kilometers, 40 kilometers, 50 kilometers. One cities, they will expand so much, then people have to commute for work. Then you have to arrange for all automobile, you have to import oil from Middle East. So in this way, we artificially create all these problems. And then we gave the name, you know, development and progress. But traveling, if you compare a horse carriage and a tin car is not a progress from horse carriage. Actually, it is degradation, because by sitting in a tin car, you will get only backache. The person who is driving, he will get backache. The person who is traveling, he will get backache. If you ride on a horse, at least it becomes an exercise actually. so we give this name, you know, progress. We are developing, you know, right or not like that. So this is just this is called in English. It is called euphemism. Euphemism means just decorating everything with good words. No. So good words, everything, you know, giving the idea that, oh, everything is great, nice, all this. This is eupemism, it is called as. So like that, some eupemistic words we use, you know, just. So in this way, they asked, in Nepal we had this problem. Like this, this is one example. We can take so many other examples. For example, now last year we saw that all over the world, so heat waves hit, and so much people, so many people in India also, so many people died because of heat waves. Andhra and Telangana area was heading among all the states in India. So maximum people died in those states. So now, what is the solution for heat waves? In Canada, some scientists and researchers, they made an idea that we will throw some chemicals in the air, in the atmosphere, which will cool the planet, like that. But you know, these scientists and researchers, they don't realize that you know, later consequences of doing that. So what will happen to that? So already you all know about that acid rain, you know, right? So rain water get mixed with all these pollutants, and that it becomes a acid, you know. So generally, previously people considered rain water to be very pure. Rain water was considered very pure, but now it is no more pure. It is because it gets mixed with so many pollutants and bad air. So in this way, by the time we realize what are the consequences of our solutions, it becomes too late. And or other, you may put, of course, we cannot put air coolers everywhere. If you go out, you cannot you cannot have a AC there, right? And we all know that ACs create so many, ACs create heat actually. So it is supposed to solve the problem of temperature, but that itself increases the temperature. And they also produce, you know, chlorofluorocarbons, and then that chlorofluorocarbons, they deplete the ozone layer. Then radiations, very hazardous radiations come from sun, and increase the temperature of the world. So in this way, we create some solution, but that solution itself becomes cause of so many problems. This is symptom of. So what I said was that if we are in knowledge, then we should have solved the problems. In fact, we are taking just two examples of, one is automobiles and another is heat problem. Like that, you can go on listing the problems and what are our solutions and how those solutions have caused further problems. So you can go on discussing endlessly. So this is a symptom that we are in ignorance. We are not able to solve the problems of life. And why we are, can we? So what is the solution for that, for this? So if you see in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was also in difficulty. He was also in problem. So one side dharma is there, kshatriya dharma is there. He has to fight in this battle of Kurukshetra, so that Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is very dharmic, he becomes the king of the world, because the rulers have to be very dharmic. They should be very pious, they should be very dharmic. Otherwise, the whole society will be misguided. So presently we see that leaders, they make some laws, they make all this, you know, planning commission is there. But because they are all in ignorance, they only bring misfortune to all the citizens. Just to give an example, like after in 60s, in mid 60s, they started this green revolution in India. So they imported lots of fertilizers and lots of hybrid seeds and so many chemical pesticides. So in this way they wanted to increase the multiply the production. But then the result, after many years, after decades, we saw that all the result is adverse now. So you know, because of importing all these hybrid seeds, manufacturing all these hybrid seeds, now most of the grains have lost their their sattva, what we call as their potency. So food no more fulfills its purposes. Why we eat food? In Bhagavad Gita that is also described. Ayu sattva bala arogya. It should increase the duration of life. It should purify our mind and intelligence and heart. And it should give us physical strength, bala. And arogya, health. It should increase our health also. So, but presently food no more fulfills these purposes. And we see that people are suffering because of using these heavy chemicals in those areas. They are suffering from so many diseases now. So in this way, when leaders are in ignorance, they don't follow dharma. So they misguide the people. So then the result will be very dangerous in the society. So it is always important to have a good leaders in the society. So this whole Kurukshetra war was to establish a good leader in the society. It was the plan of the Lord. So Arjuna was supposed to be assisting in this mission. It was Lord Krishna's mission to establish Yudhishthira as the king of the world. And Arjuna was supposed to assist in that mission. One side his dharma is there, and another side all these people with whom he is going to fight, they are his relatives. So that material affection, family affection is binding him. So therefore he was in difficulty, he was in confusion, he was in problem. And we see that although he was very intelligent, he was very learned, he knew all the principles of dharma, dharmic principles. So he brought, based on his knowledge of dharma shastras, he brought so many arguments in front of Krishna. And in the end, still he could not come out of confusion. Then he surrenders to Lord Krishna. In the beginning of second chapter, we see that he surrenders to Lord Krishna. Nahi prapashyami mama punadya yachokam uchoshanam indriyanam avapabhumya vasapatna vraddam rajyam suranam adichadipatyam. So he says, even if I attain kingdom like that of demigods, so heavenly kingdom, so unrivaled kingdom on earth, and even that of demigods, I will not be able to solve my problems, he says. In other words, in modern man is thinking, by economic development and technological advancement, we will be able to solve all the problems of life. So, or in other words, with our intelligence and economic development, so we will be able to solve all the problems of life. But it is not possible. Because Arjuna could not solve these problems because he was more intelligent than us. So he had wealth, so if you see the descriptions of the people of that age, obviously he had better food than us, better lifestyle than us, and better air, better water. In every way he was in a better position than us. And he had knowledge of shastras. So knowledge of shastra, why it is more important? Because so shastras are just like manuals of creation. What is the meaning of manuals of creation? If you bring a gadget, along with that you get a manual how to use this gadget, right? Electronic. Similarly, how to lead life in this world is given in all the scriptures. Yeah? So Mahabharata, Ramayana, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So they are considered as manuals of creation. So he had knowledge of all the scriptures, but and by fighting in this battle he would get a great kingdom. But still Arjuna thought that all these things will not solve problems of life. So we should understand from this that just by doing technological advancement and economic development we will not be able to solve the problems of life. So you may have lots of paper money, but still you will not be able to solve the problems of life. In this way, you see, now whole country can come together, let's solve. So can we solve this by technological advancement? Can you solve, you know, air pollution problem? We cannot solve that. Unless we all stop all using cars, automobiles, stop all these things, right? So in this way, by technological advancement and economic development, we will not be able to solve the problems of life. So Arjuna, he understood that. Then he surrendered to Krishna. So this is solution. We have to surrender to Krishna. Why we have to surrender to Krishna? Because being creator of this world, actually he is creator of problems also. In the sense that he only puts all the living entities into ignorance. Of course, it is our choice. Krishna gives knowledge also. Both he has in Bhagavad Gita, from beginning to end, if you see what is knowledge and what is ignorance. So this clear distinction is made. And Krishna gives you choice. In the end of Bhagavad Gita also, if you see, after speaking all this Bhagavad Gita, he told Arjuna, yatechasi tata kuru. Do as you like. Yatechasi tata kuru. He gives us choice. If we choose to be in ignorance, he helps in that also. And if you want to come to knowledge, then he helps in that also. He gives independence. So he doesn't come into our independence. He is not like fanatic. There are some fanatic preachers in the world. So Jesus is the only way. Otherwise you will eternally burn in hell. You have to believe, like that they will say. Krishna will not say. He gives knowledge. It is not just belief. So he gives room for intelligent thought. So because of such fanatic religions, many people become atheistic. Many people in universities, they say by following such religions, our development of intelligence it stops, you know. It inhibits development of thought and intelligence. So therefore, better we be atheistic instead of following such religions. But they can also take, such atheists also can take relief from Bhagavad Gita, because Lord Krishna very philosophically, theologically explains what we should do, what we should not do in Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, we have to surrender to Lord Krishna, or we have to take help of Bhagavad Gita. Then only we will be able to solve the problems of life. But another thing which Bhagavad Gita speaks is, what to speak of trying to find the solutions to the problems of life. We actually don't know what actual problems are. That is our problem. We don't know actually what. We think that, oh, this is problem, this is problem, this is problem, like that. But we don't have even knowledge of problems also. So we are in such gross ignorance we are. So we think something as problem and try to find solutions to that, or we don't have any solution for that. That is one kind of ignorance. Another kind of ignorance is that we don't know actually what are the problems. Therefore, in 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, when he defined what are the items of knowledge. He defines knowledge. And in the end he says, this is knowledge. Etat jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yadato nyatha. Apart from this, everything else is ignorance, he says. He gives the list of some 18 items, 18 to 20 items. So this is knowledge, and apart from this is everything else is ignorance, he says. So one of the items of knowledge is janma mrityu jaravyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam anudarshanam. Darshanam means realizing or understanding. So realizing birth, death, old age and diseases are the real problems of life is called knowledge, he says Krishna. Our real problems are janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. This is most important problems. All other problems, like you are suffering from dental problem, toothache, no? It may be problem for you, but for a dentist it is not a problem. He becomes very happy, I am getting one candidate now, like that. Mosquito is biting you. So mosquito bite is a problem for us, but for a mosquito it is nectar, it is sucking blood, no? So in this way, these are not so important problems. They may be problem for you, it may not be problem for others, no? Right? So, but these problems, everyone has. They are common to all. Everyone has to face these problems. Therefore, these are real problems of life. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, doshanu, darshanu. Now, human form of life is important. Why? Because they can understand and appreciate these problems. So, why human form is better than other forms of life? Because in human form, consciousness is developed. What is the meaning of developed consciousness? Consciousness means, in simple dictionary meaning, if you say awareness, perception is called as consciousness. We are conscious. We are conscious of ourselves. We are conscious of what is happening in our body. We are conscious of surroundings. We have awareness. So developed consciousness means that our perceiving power, our awareness is more than other living entities, lower species, like animals, birds, trees. Trees are also living entities. So trees are standing in rain, heat, and cold. They are not feeling all these things, right? Can we stand like that? Can we stand like trees? Why we cannot stand? Because our perception of heat and cold, happiness and distress, is more than trees. Why it is like that? Because our consciousness is more developed than trees. So trees, what they are? They are, if they get some, you know, food and water, some minerals and water from the ground, they become satisfied. And animals, you know, reptiles, birds and animals, they are more advanced, their consciousness is more developed than trees. Why? Because they have some sense of protection. So in Taittiriya Upanishad, these levels of consciousness are described. So trees are only in Annamaya. If they get some water and minerals, they become little food. If they get, they become happy. Just like if you see, even our human life also develops like that only. Children, you see, anything you give them, put in the mouth. Because their consciousness is Annamaya conscious. So if they become hungry, they start crying. If you give them some food, they are okay. They don't have consciousness of protecting themselves. Often you see that they may go just on the road. They don't realize that going on the road is not safety. You know, it is not safe because they don't have sense of protection. So reptiles, birds and beasts, animals, they are more developed than trees because they have sense of protection is there. And more developed than that, them is human beings. Not only sense of protection, they can ask questions, what is the cause of the problems? Why I am suffering in this world? So this is possible only in human life. Now you see, why we need developed consciousness? Why we need to be aware of what is this happiness and distress? We could have also been like trees. why to experience this happiness and distress? Better just like be trees, right? Someone may think like that. But is it an intelligent thing? So it is, because many people take pleasure in being in ignorance in this world, especially, you know? Especially in modern days. Just don't bother about all this. Like we see about these problems. Anyone cares about janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha? Anyone is bothered whether we should solve birth, death, old age and disease in this world? No one is bothered. So no one questions. Okay, death, old age, everyone has to face that, leave it aside. Whatever time is there, let's enjoy, like that. If you ask our scientific friends, what is your solution to? Like I used to preach in some medical college. I used to ask the doctors, what is your solution to old age and disease, death? Even diseases, they are not able to cure diseases. In fact, diseases are increasing more and more and more. Right? So, we don't have everything. They have only paracetamol as solution. That's all. Right? So, what is the solution for all these things, problems? Then they always said skeptical answer. Everyone has to face this. We have to go on. So, in this way, living like trees is not a symptom of knowledge. It is. So it is not symptom of developed consciousness. So we have to ask questions. What is the root cause of all these problems? Is there any solution? So how I can escape from this? So this is possible in human life. So these are all symptoms of ignorance. If we do not ask these questions, then we are in ignorance. If we do not realize that these are real problems of life, we are in ignorance. So we failed as human beings, or we wasted our human life. So without inquiring about these problems of life. So in this way, Lord Krishna, he says, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, these are most important problems of life. And even in one sense, if you see, these are also not so important. It is there, one level. These are also not original cause of all the problems. So ultimate ignorance is forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna, our God. Every living entity has relationship with Supreme Lord, Krishna. So presently we have forgotten God. We have forgotten our relationship with the God. And in this way, it is just our life is like a dream, it is. So in the dream, you are thinking that you are a prime minister of India, you are flying in aeroplane or something like that, you know, big businessman, so, or like that, you know. So Ajim Premji or Narayan Murthy or somebody like that, you know. So we are imagining ourselves like that. Once we get up, what happens? Dream is over, right? Then we come to the reality, right? So there is night dream and there is day dream. In daytime also, we are in dream. We are thinking, I am engineer, I am Indian, I am American, I am Eastern, I am Western, I am man, woman. All these things are just dreams there. Once this life is over, the next dream starts. It's not that this is not the only life. In Bhagavad Gita, we see that Atma is eternal. Atma is changing bodies from one life to another life. So once we leave this body, that's why we say, no, he passed away, we say. Who passed away? Body is lying down there only. So we start another dream, we start. Then we think that, oh, then we study engineering, come to Bangalore, take a job in an IT company, then we think that I am an engineer, so another dream starts. So like this, we are always in dream actually. So we are not in reality. So our actual reality, so real position, we have forgotten our relationship with the Lord. So we all have relation with the Lord in love and service. So 5000 years back when Lord Krishna appeared in Vrindavan in Mathura and Braj area, so he revealed to us his leelas, his pastimes. So what is happening in the spiritual world? Just like before a cinema comes, what they do? They show some trailers, right? What they do? So that people get inspired to see that cinema. Similarly, Lord is showing the trailer what happens in the spiritual world. How Lord is enjoying in the company of his devotees. So all these gopas, gopis, they are all devotees of the Lord. And Lord also wants to enjoy different relationships. So one of his devotee becomes his friend, one of his devotee becomes his father, Nanda, Yashoda, like that. And one of devotee becomes gopi lover in this way. So they enjoy loving relationships. So similarly we have a loving relation with the Lord. So we have forgotten that relationship. Therefore, we have forgotten that relationship. And in this way, we are in a dream state here in this material world. And we are misidentifying ourselves as with different identities in this world. And in this way, this is the original cause of all the problems in this world. All our suffering, all our problems. So when we understand that, so when we engage in Krishna service, then all our problems will be solved. So this is Bhagavad Gita, not only it gives material knowledge also. So how to solve material life? Ultimately in the material world, so we cannot solve all the problems of this world, you know. So because this whole, the very existence of this material world itself is a problematic, it's a born out of that original problem. Our whole material existence itself is born out of that original problem. So, Lord Krishna, what he teaches in Bhagavad Gita is that relatively be happy in this world. Be happy means not by our concocted ideas, concocted solutions, by man-made solutions, we will not be happy. We have to follow the system given by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita. So, how we should lead life. Everything is given. Like I said, Krishna speaks about what kind of food we should eat. And what is the purpose of eating food. All these basic things. When to sleep, how much to sleep. So all these things Lord Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Basic things, basic material knowledge. All these things are not necessary. Previously it was not required, but in Kali Yuga people, they don't know how to all this. So working in the night is not a, you know, it's not a comfortable for body, right? Is it? You all agree with that, right? Is it comfortable for the body? No, right. But modern day man is in so much ignorance, he doesn't know what is even basic material happiness also. So therefore, Lord Krishna speaks material knowledge also, on material level how we can be relatively be happy and in the end go back home, back to Godhead, our original home, kingdom of God. So Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavana. So in this way he gives a clear plan for us. So this is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to deliver the mankind from the nescience of material existence. This material existence is born out of ignorance, ignorance of our original position, our relationship with the Lord. That is ultimate avidya it is. So, so if we revive our relationship with the Lord, then we will be able to solve the problems of life. So here we see the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from the nescience of material existence. Every man is in difficulty in so many ways. As Arjuna also was in difficulty in having to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna surrendered unto Shri Krishna and consequently this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Not only Arjuna, But every one of us is in full of anxieties because of this material existence. Our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. That is called as asat, non-existence. So these are little technical terms here. In Sanskrit, there is sat and asat. By nature we are sat, Sachidananda. Bhagavan, you know, is Sachidananda. And jivas, living entities, we are parts of the Lord. So we are amsha of the Lord. We are also Sachidananda. But because we are in asat, platform of asat, asat means everything temporary. That which always stays is called as sat, eternal, ever existing. That is sat. And asat means which does not exist for a long time. This whole material existence is, material world is temporary, it is. So it is not very difficult to understand, right? Everything is temporary in this world. Previously, so many, in the history we have read, history of humanity, so many great empires have come and gone. So many great kings and emperors have come and gone. Great personalities have come and gone. So, like our founder Acharya was in France. He said, France is there, but where is Napoleon? He said. Napoleon is no more there now, right? So, in this way, so we see that, or you take a small piece of fruit, a small piece of apple, that is also temporary. After some time, it decays. Our life is temporary, our relationships are temporary. So we are trying to, we are by nature eternal, we are Sachidananda. We are trying to attain eternal happiness in the environment, in the temporary existence. So there is some incompatibility between our real state of existence and our present state of existence. So therefore, there is always anxiety and there is always incompleteness in us. So therefore, we should go from this state of non-existence or asat to sat. So that is what in Bhagavad Gita it is taught. So here, of course, here it is not mentioned. This is from introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Srila Prabhupada further, he mentions that that actually we are all swallowed by the tigress of nescience, but the Lord is very merciful upon living entities, especially human beings. So Lord personally descends from his abode to give this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, because he is very merciful on living entities. So especially human beings. To this end, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, making his friend Arjuna as his student. Arjuna was already he was in knowledge. He didn't require Bhagavad Gita, but just Krishna puts him into illusion, so that through Arjuna he can give this message of Bhagavad Gita to whole world. Being an associate of Lord Krishna, Arjuna was above all ignorance. But Arjuna was put into ignorance on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to question Lord Krishna about the problems of life, so that Lord could explain them for the benefit of future generations of human beings and check out the plan of life. Then man could act accordingly and perfect the mission of human life. So this is purpose of Bhagavad Gita, to deliver us from ignorance. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So any questions, comments? If you have any questions, if you want to ask, we have few minutes. Anyone would like to ask something, especially newcomers, those who are attending this program for the first time? No questions.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, very good question. If we can teach when they are in the womb only, it will be very good. So there are many instances in the Shastra also. Like you see, you know Prahlad. Prahlad, he learnt everything when he was in the womb of his mother Kayadu. Kayadu is the wife of Hiranyakashipu. And when Hiranyakashipu went to perform austerities, demigods, they kidnapped Kayadu because they thought that we are troubled by one Hiranyakashipu and now another Hiranyakashipu is going to be born now. So then Narad Muni came there and he objected, demigod, the child which is in the womb of this mother, so he is going to be a great devotee of the Lord. So then later when Prahlad was in Gurukula, he was teaching so this Bhagavata Dharma so to all the other sons of Asuras, so Asura Putras. Then those sons of demons, you know, Prahlad's friends, they are asking Prahlad, you are born with us and you joined school with us only, where did you learn all these things like that? Then Prahlad speaks about how did he learn. What did he learn when he was in the womb of his mother? So he says that when I was in the womb of mother, Narad Muni spoke all the Bhagavata Dharma to my mother, but eventually my mother forgot it, but I remember it, he says. So then in this way, if we have to, as early as possible, we should be. So in the home there should not be television, children they should not grow up watching television, because in television what will be there? Kama, krodha, lobha, that's all, nothing else, right or not? So previously people did not buy television in India, even in America and Europe they knew that this is nonsense. They coined the word idiot box for, you know, television, even in Europe and America, you know. So they called, but in India what they did, they introduced this Mahabharata Ramayana serials in, you know, television. People started buying televisions and later they removed all this Mahabharata Ramayana, they put all nonsense in. Now people had attachment for Ramayana and Mahabharata in India, to the extent that in that Ramayana serial, the woman who played the role of Sita, she was worshipped in Orissa in one place where she went. Because people had so much attachment to Ramayana and Mahabharata. So we should not. But again, Prahlad himself says, Kaumar Acharet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavataniha Durlabham Manusham Janma Tadapya Adruva Martadam. Kaumar Acharet Pragyo, Kaumara age, that means from the age of 5. So actually in Vedic education, Vidyarambha begins at the age of 5. From that age we have to start teaching this. If not in the womb, at least from the age of 5 this should be started. So Prahlad says, Dharman Bhagavata, Durlabham Manusham Janma Tadyapya Adruvam Artadam. This human form of life is very rare, Durlabham. So why? Because it is rare, because after passing through 84 lakh species, we come to this human form of life. And in fact, human form of life is so rare that even demigods want to, all Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Agni, Vayu, all they want to take birth in this world. Because there also there is so much heavenly enjoyment. In enjoyment, they forget all spiritual knowledge in higher planets, you know. So in the Swarga Lokas, even they pray to take birth here in this land. So Durlabham Manusham Janma Tadapya Adruvam Artadam. So Adruvam Artadam, it is also very short span, human life. Therefore we have to be very eager Adhruva means it is not long lasting, it is human life. Now in as Kali Yuga progresses, so like we all know, previously people lived longer, our grandparents, parents, grandparents, they lived longer than us. Now the lifespan, life expectancy is reducing, although statistics gives more, it is increasing, that is wrong, it is. We have practical experience that our so ancestors lived longer. So it is short span, and then arthadam, it can become very meaningful. Human life can become very meaningful if you give knowledge at the age of 5 only. So if you miss that, but in modern education, this modern education is so dangerous, so dangerous. I spoke about linear progressive history and civilization in the beginning. So how children are indoctrinated into this linear progressive history, that we are going on making development and progress. So you work for this development and progress, then everyone, one day this world will become most happy world, happy place. Krishna says Dukkalayam, and these fellows, they are thinking that it will become Sukalayam. So these are problems with modern education. Therefore people are working hard day and night. 40 years back our scientific friends were boasting that in 25 years we will do in such a way that man does not have to work at all, because we will make so many machines will do all the work. But now human work, human endeavor has multiplied now. In India previously no one ever imagined that people will be working in the night also, right or not? So is it a progress? It is not progress. Why human beings? Because animals, they eat, elephants eat 200 pound of grass every day, they are getting their food every day. Human beings, they have to struggle for 2 pound of food. This is not human society, we are more degraded. But in the school education what happens? They are indoctrinated, they are programmed like that, we are making progress, we are becoming, we are developing. So in this way people are put into illusion to work. In the end whole world will be chaotic. So children are put into this kind of education. So therefore this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is very important for children also, from the beginning, from the age of 5. So human beings doesn't have to work like this actually. Doesn't have to work for you. What is the solution? What is the result of all these things? Just you earn lots of money and put it in the hospitals, that's all, right or not? You are only purchasing some diseases, that's the ultimate result of all the work. And die early, right? Become old. You see this, all these people who are going in the morning to job, this IT people, they are half dead. There is no, you know, there is no spirit in their face at all like that, right? It's okay, Mataji. Any other questions? So this whole education, this Bhagavad Gita education is important. Any other questions? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. How many of you have Bhagavad Gita? New people, newcomers. So Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita as it is. So those who do not have Bhagavad Gita as it is, please, we have Bhagavad Gita here. So I request all of you to have a copy of Bhagavad Gita, and every day please read this. So this is a great knowledge, and you will be benefited a lot from this. And apart from that, every week we conduct programs in different places here in this area. So you all take part in that also. And as you keep coming here in this, keep attending these programs, keep reading Bhagavad Gita in your home, you will see that you have, within short time you have attained great wisdom. So your life becomes very blissful, very enlightened. And we also pray to Lord Krishna that he gives you all this knowledge, reveals to you all this knowledge, just like he had given this knowledge to Arjuna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So next part of the program, this projector, off the projector, you can. So okay, little bit I struggled with my presentation, but okay it was.